John chapter 14. In John chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can the Father but by me." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity I have to be able to preach your word. I thank you for the message that we've heard here this past week, Lord. I pray that we don't just let those go away, Lord, but we apply them to our lives, Lord. We seek to get our hearts right with you. We continue in a revival state in our hearts, Lord, that we can do more for you every day. I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sins, for being that only way, Lord, that I've received. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk this morning about life after death. You know, when we die physically, the Bible teaches that our soul lives on. It either lives on in heaven or in hell. Either we're going to be in glory with God or we're going to be separated from God in a place called hell. And that's what the Bible teaches. You know, many people deny the fact that there is a literal hell and a literal heaven, you know. And when they do that, they deny the teachings of God's Word. They deny what the Bible says. You know, some people have the idea that heaven is some kind of mystical place, some kind of fairy land, where we're all going to become angels. We're just going to, you know. However, we're not going to become angels, you know. That's just things that people think of and they make up in their heads. And you see TV shows, whatever it may be. But the Bible talks about heaven being a literal place. In fact, the Bible explains what heaven is like. The Bible also talks about hell. You know, hear people say, "Well, you know, this is hell right here. Earth is hell." And I want you to understand, this is the only hell that a Christian, someone that had received Jesus Christ, is the only hell that they will know. But this is a walk in the park compared to what hell really is. And we're going to take a little look at that, what hell is, what heaven is this morning, you know. And we find that the Bible teaches, you know, in fact, Jesus' first miracle, he turned John chapter 2, in verse 10, we find that Jesus, he turned the water into wine. And the governor of the feast, what did the governor say in verse 10? It says, and saith unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now." You know, that's how it is with Jesus. You know, the best is yet to come. You know, the best that for the Christian, it's only going to get better. I mean, this is the worst that it's going to be, and the best is yet to come. If you're not a Christian, you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the best. You know, it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. And I want you to understand that, hey, that we have something to look forward to. We have a home beyond these clouds, and it's called heaven. It's a real place. You know, there was one day when I was lost, but I received Jesus Christ, my Savior, by faith, and I have a new home, and it's heaven. I have a new Heavenly Father, you know. I know where I'm going. I have assurance that when I die that I'm going to be in heaven, you know. And I understand that the Bible tells me that God's gone to prepare a mansion for me. You know, we've read that there in John chapter 14. He says he's going to go and prepare a place for us. And I thought about that, how Jesus created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And now he gives this promise to his disciples. He's telling them, he says, I'm going to go, and he does go, and he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And think about it. It took him 6 days to make this world. He rested on the seventh. He's been there for 2,000 years. I mean, he's preparing a place for 2,000 years. I mean, could you imagine? We look around, we see the beauty of this world, and we go and see the seven wonders. We see we can go and we can look at a Niagara Falls. We can look at the Grand Canyon. We can see what this world, the beauty the world has to offer. Once you understand, he did that and just, by his words. But here he's been doing this for over 2,000 years, preparing a place for us. You know, we can't begin to imagine what the beauty that heaven will hold. I got married in 2003. We're going on 10 years of our marriage, and I remember the first summer we got married in Syracuse, and when we're home from Bible college, it was our third year of Bible college, we got married, and we're going to go and finish off our last year in Oklahoma City. So we didn't have a home, and we didn't want to get stuck into a lease or anything, because we're just going to be driving right back. So we were there for the summer. Well, my brother, he was not married at the time, and he had his house. So he offered, he goes, I'll let you guys live in my house. He said, I'll move into, to our parents' house. We moved in the parents' house for a couple months and let us have the house. And, it was very kind of him. And we got to spend a couple months there. And, it was neat, but it wasn't really our home. We weren't using our own stuff. In fact, when we got to Oklahoma City, we ended up buying an apartment. And we just had this one-bedroom apartment, just this tiny little apartment. But we were excited, We were young. We should have seen us. I think I was 21 years old or something like that, but I looked very young, and so did my wife. We looked like teenagers. But we got this little apartment, and we were all excited about this living on our own. We got married. We were there for a year and a half. Then we ended up going to Kansas City. And I took it was actually a town outside of Kansas City called Osawatomie. Little town, about 4,000 people. The deacon at the church, that we ended up getting, I was an assistant pastor at this church, and deacon, he owned like 50 houses in the community. And so he said, you can rent off me. And so he gives me this house, and I get to the house, and we hadn't even seen it, but this was an old house. I mean, it had, shag carpet, it was pretty rough condition, but we get in this house, and we were just happy to be in a home, and we were excited, what the Lord was doing. But we had our little home there. And Kansas, it's hot. You got to make sure you have an air conditioner. It's like 100-something degrees every day, well, not every day, throughout the summer. And they got big bugs there. And I remember one time we were watching TV, and we had a cat. And we see our cat ran in front of the TV, And then we're like, watching. And all of a sudden, we see like this shadow. This bug, I don't know what it was, some kind of roach or something, but this thing was chasing my cat. You gotta watch out when you got bugs chasing your pets, we had a good time there. We had to get in a couch. We just moved in, we had to find a couch. This is actually when I was in our first apartment, and we didn't have much money, so we went to the furniture store. We looked in, we're looking at all these couches, and we're looking at the prices, and we're like, whoa, a little too much for us, we looked around the whole place, and we're like, hey, you got anything cheaper, and we finally found one couch. It was like the only couch in the whole place that we could afford. We're like, we'll take that one. It didn't matter what color it was, it didn't matter what it looked like, we just needed a couch. So we get the couch home, and we're sitting. I remember getting had my suit on. I was sitting on. I got up, getting ready for church, and I have all this stuff on me. I'm like, my couch was shedding. every time I got off the couch, I had to brush myself off, and things shed for like 2 years. And then it just fell apart. We ended up selling it at a garage sale for like $30. But it was ours. We're happy. We understand that those were our home, but the Bible tells that we have a home that's for the believer. It's beyond this earth. It's beyond these. It's beyond these homes that are going to crumble, that are going to burn, that are going to be gone. We have a permanent dwelling place. and that's a home that's beyond this one. Those that are in Christ, that we have a home. And the Bible says this, that this home, it's going to be a place that we're going to spend in eternity. The Bible says the place where the roof's not going to leak, where the bugs aren't going to chase your pets. You know, it's going to be a place that that we're going to spend eternity with the Lord forever. We're going to be in glory with Him. The Bible talks about this place that we're going to live, that it is a literal place. He says in John 14, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He's not preparing an imagination. He's not preparing a state of mind. He's preparing an actual place. It's a real place. You know, just as the Bible, you know, talks about, you know, any other location or place, it talks about heaven as in it's a literal place. In fact, look over Revelation chapter 4. We find that Jesus, he takes up John in a vision up to the third heaven. And he begins to explain what it's like. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seat I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. You know, goes and continues to explain a little about heaven through all the way through chapter 4 and also chapter 5. But the Bible talks about this as an actual place that he had seen. A place that Jesus had created. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, it said, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You know, the Bible talks about Christians, and he calls us strangers and pilgrims. And what he's calling a stranger pilgrim is saying that, hey, we don't have a permanent dwelling place, that we're just here. The Bible talks, Jesus, how he says, he goes, they sent them into this world, but they are not of this world. That we're not of this earth, that our home is in heaven, that here is not a permanent dwelling place, but we're just here. You know, I was a youth pastor for 3 years, and we did these youth rallies, you know, where they had like all night, they call them all-nighters. And I'd, you know, we'd have the kids play, you know, play basketball or volleyball. We'd take them to a hockey game or do a bunch of things. I mean, so all night long from like 6 at night to 6 in the morning, you know. And I remember, you know, once that 6 in the morning hits, you know, and you finally get home, I mean, you're just exhausted. And you know how it is. I mean, if you drive a long time, you're so tired, you know. You just want to get some rest. You know, I remember laying down on my bed with my wife next to me, and after this all-night youth rally thing, and maybe it's just me, but I mean, maybe you can relate to this too, but I remember laying there, and it felt so good to lay there, you know. I just laid down, and I just started laughing. Did anyone know what I'm talking about? I start laughing like, wow, this is good, you know. And I remember me and my wife, we're just sitting there just rolling. I mean, just laughing because it's so comfortable. You've like finally arrived to that bed where you're so tired and it just feels so good to be there. And I can imagine heaven being like that. Like here we're just struggling and we're going through trials and all this in our life and pain and all that we go through, but one day we're going to be in heaven where we can finally have some rest. I believe we're just going to sit there and I think we're just going to laugh. Be like, wow, you know, our new incorruptible bodies, you know, no more aches, no more pains, no more sin around us, no pressures of sin, we're going to see Jesus face to face. I believe we're just going to sit there and enjoy that time. Finally, being home, being where the Lord is. You know, it's be a place where we're no longer going to have to shovel the driveway, or no longer going to have to do our laundry, or do the dishes, or mow the lawn, none of that stuff. You know, rest from all of our labors. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's It's, you know, no more cares, worries, the trials. Everything that hinders us will not be there. You're going to have rest. We're going to be home. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and look in verse 10. It says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and the gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are names of the 12 tribes, the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city, and the 12 foundations in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the walls thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and the measure of the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth, and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation, jasper. And it goes on and gives 12 different stones for these foundations. You see, the Bible tells us, and it gives a description of the city, of the description of heaven and what it's going to be like. We find that Jesus had taken some time and has created this place, and this is a beautiful place. In fact, we look at the size of this place, and we find the city is 1,500 miles square. It's a cube. You know, if it were setting on the East Coast, it would stretch from the Atlantic to Colorado, and from Canada border to the Gulf of Mexico. The wall stands approximately 216 feet tall, and we find the wall is clear, jasper. We find the city, the Bible has said, is pure gold. The foundations, it explains the 12 stones, the precious stones. You know, we think about our roads, you know, made out of gravel and of sand, you know, but we find that here, these are, this road, we find, is as pure gold. Find the gates are gigantic pearls. You know, there's no city like this. And the Bible says that he invites whosoever will. You know, I'm a guy, and I don't know if I'm like all guys, but I don't really care too much about beauty. Be honest with you. You know, I mean, I like things to look nice, but I'm not like, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it wouldn't matter to me if it was, you know, bricks or if it's made out of jasper. You know, it just doesn't really matter to me. But you know, one thing that excites me is I think about, there's two things. One thing, look over in chapter 21, in verse 4 of Revelation. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away." That's one thing that I'm excited about. I'm excited about no more death, no more crying, no more pain, you know, no more tears, no more trials. That those things are going to be passed away. You know, no more disappointments, no more funerals. You know, no more violence. You know, we think about all those things, the struggles in which we go through. You know, as pilgrims, we're just passing through. Those things are going to be gone. You know, I think about, we're going to get there and we're going to have a reunion with those that have passed on before us. With those that were in Jesus Christ, that are saved, one day we're going to go and we're going to see them once again. You know, we're going to see, you know, children that maybe you've had a miscarriage, or maybe you've had a child that had passed away, or maybe a father or a mother, and we think about, hey, we're going to be able to see them again. Find that No more death. No more pain. Doesn't seem like it get much better than that, but I want you to understand the Bible also said, look over in verse 23. It says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine on it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The Bible says that in heaven, there's going to be no need for a sun or no need for a moon. Why? Because the S-O-N, the Lamb of God, He's going to light it. He's going to be there. Hey, we're going to be able to see Jesus face to face. You think about that song, what a day it will be that my Jesus I shall see. I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. You know, we'll be able to see Jesus face to face. We're going to be able to get to heaven. We're just going to be able to bow down and just say, holy, holy, holy art thou God, Lord of heaven. That we're going to be able to worship Him, the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. We're going to be in the presence of God. You know, what a day that will be when we'll see Jesus at His feet. You know, I was talking to Miss Marlene just the other day. You know, I was at her house, and her husband got a throat cancer. He's been to our church a couple times, and he had not lived the best life. You know, he was not saved, you know. But, you know, when he got scared, you know, as he was there in the hospital, and they said, we don't know how much longer you have to live. And so he called for me, and I went up to the hospital room, and I got the chance to give him the plan of salvation, show him how he could accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. And by the grace of God, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he called upon Jesus Christ to save him. And I was just there the other day, and he only has, I mean, another day or two to live. And of course, I mean, we're sad when we see people, when they see him passing away, you know, that we're going to miss him. You know, and I told Marlene, as I was talking to her, trying to comfort her, and I explained to her that, hey, he's going to a better place. We're the ones that are missing out, you know. He's going to be comfortable. He's no longer going to be struggling just for a breath. That he's no longer going to have to, you know, eat out of a tube. Or he's no longer going to have to struggle with the pressures of sin in this world. But he's going to be in glory with the Lord. I think of the grace of God, you know, that saved his soul. You know, and that can give us comfort. Knowing that, you know, those that have received Jesus Christ, that they'll be in heaven when they die. But just as heaven is real, and is a place that can give us comfort, the Bible also talks about hell, and hell is just as real as heaven. You know, I think it's 70% of Americans believe in a place called heaven. However, only 56% believe in a place called hell. It doesn't really matter what people believe or what people want to think. You know, it doesn't change the fact that there is a heaven and the fact that there is a hell. And you find that the Bible tells us about a hell. The Bible tells what hell is going to be like. You know, we talked about how the best is yet to come for the believer. For those that are saved, I mean, we have heaven to look forward to. You know, when we die, we're just going to a better place. But for those that have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that this is the best that it is, that it's just going to get worse. We find that the Bible talks about hell as being a place of literal fire. I've heard people say, you shouldn't use hell as a motivation to try and get someone to be saved. You know, many of the same people that say that, all right, they got saved because they didn't want to go to hell, you know. They got saved because they heard about hell and they understand that, hey, I don't want to go there. Find that the teaching of hell is not popular, but the Bible commands us that we are to do. In fact, that's what Jesus did. Jesus preached on hell. Out of 162 references to hell and eternal judgment in the New Testament, Jesus spoke of it 70 times. Jesus preached on hell. I remember people, you know, they used to wear these bands, you know, and they still do sometimes, you know, those WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? And that's a good thing to live by. What would Jesus do, you know? However, you know, many of the same people that wear them bracelets, you know, would get upset if they hear me preaching on hell and preaching on the judgment of God. Say, oh, why would you do that? And I want you to understand, hey, Jesus did that. Jesus was the greatest preacher on hell in the Bible. You know, for those that fail to preach on hell, they're not doing what Jesus would do. You know, Jesus, he's the greatest preacher on hell. It's not popular to preach on hell, yet Jesus preached almost twice as much about hell as he did about heaven. Why? It's because God so loved the world. You know, because he loves us. That's what real love is. Love is telling someone, although it may offend them, it could also save them from their sin. There's a condition which we all had. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says that we're all sinners. Because we're all sinners, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." The penalty for our sin is hell. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 or verse 15, it says, "And death and hell were cast like a fire. This is the second death." You know, this place called hell, horrible place. The Bible tells about hell over in Mark chapter 9 and verse 43. Hell is called unquenchable fire. We find in Revelation, look over in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10. It says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into this cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment shall descend up for ever and ever, and they shall have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." The Bible says those that have not received Jesus Christ their Savior, their smoke is going to send up into heaven forever and ever. You know, talk about a place where there's no rest. Or they want rest, but there is going to be no rest. In Luke chapter 13, verse 28, it says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, that they'll be in torment. Luke chapter 16 says he opened his eyes in hell, being tormented by this flame. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, it talks about eternal separation and punishment from the presence of the Lord. In Luke chapter 16, we find the rich man, he cried out in hell. He says, "I want a drip of water to just drip on my tongue. I want to be cooled. I want to be refreshed from this flame." But we find that God did not answer that request. It was an unfulfilled desire. You know, the Bible tells us where hell is. In fact, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, it says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." We find that hell is in the heart of the earth. In the center of the earth. You know, scientists, they say that it's 4,200 miles to the center of the earth. They say that the core of the earth is molten nickel, although the furthest they've ever went down was 5 or 6 miles. You know, the Bible says that in Revelation chapter 9, in verse 1, it talks about hell being called a bottomless pit. Some people say, well, how can hell be a bottomless pit? You know, well, if you understand, you know, if hell is the center of the earth, and we have the earth and rotating there, that you would be constantly falling. You know, so, you know, it said it could be, you know, around the equator of the earth, a tunnel throughout the earth where you just continually fall and fall. Have you ever got sick on one of those rides, you know, at the fair? Or, you know, I don't even mess around with those rides. Those rides that just, you go and you sit in the wall, and it just spins, and you're like stuck to the wall, you know? And you hope someone's going to hurl next to you or anything, because everyone's going to get it, you know? I get sick just looking at them things, you know? But could you imagine falling, you know, forever? Could you imagine just you know, being on one of those rides that just never, it's fun for a second, and then you start to get sick. You know, then you continually fall and continually fall. And the Bible says that while you're falling, what you're going to hear is you're going to hear wailing and gnashing of teeth. You're going to hear, you know, just sounds of insanity. Sounds of people screaming, sounds of people being tormented, sounds of people in pain. You know, people go crazy over hearing babies cry, you know. Could you imagine just hearing screaming and, you know, in torment, you know, forever? You know, you burn your finger on, like, you know, I remember the first time I made Speedies. I heard about Speedies, moved down here. I was like, yeah, I'm make Speedies. And I bought the metal skewers, you know, and I put them on the grill, and I'm, you know, getting ready for some. And I was like, all right, I'll flip them. And I grabbed them. I mean, just grabbed it with my bare hand, you know, wanted to flip it. And I was like, ah, you know. And you could see, like, the ring on my finger was there for, like, months, you know. And you go and you go and you put it under cold water, and you just run it. And you just run the water, and it feels good. You're like, ah. That feels good. And then as soon as you shut it off, it's back. You know, that pain. You know, and it goes, could you imagine? And that's just a little, that's just my thumb. All right? Imagine that being your whole body while you're just sick and falling in pain, hearing screaming and gnashing of teeth, you know, and then you cry out and you find that you're alone. Although you can hear people, no one will answer. We find that you're dying, but you will not die. That you're falling and you will not land. You find that you're sick. And on top of all that, you're going to have your memory. You know, I think of the rich man as he's in hell, lift up his eyes. You know, what'd he say? He said, I pray therefore that someone send to my that you send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brethren, they may testify them, lest they come into this place of torment. He said, I want you to send Lazarus to go to my house to warn my family. He goes, I don't want them to go to this place of torment. I don't want them to burn for eternity. I don't want them to go through this very same torment. And he cried out and cried to the Lord and said, send him. That tells me that he remembers. He remembers Lazarus testifying. He remembers Lazarus testifying of the Lord and testifying. Because why else would he not? Why else would he want Lazarus to go out? He wanted Lazarus to go out to go door knock. He wanted Lazarus to go to his family's house, his father's house, and tell them about the Lord. You know, we're going to have a memory. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they're going to remember every time someone, I mean, could you think about just sitting there, going through all that, you're going to remember, why am I here? What's going on? You're going to remember every time you denied that track, every time that you heard the gospel message. You're going to remember of the person at work who tried to witness. You're going to remember of the very message that you may be here today. Maybe you'll remember this message if you did not receive Jesus Christ. And say, how come I didn't call upon the Lord? How come I didn't accept Jesus Christ? You'll remember these things. Yeah, I preach hell because I know hell is real and people are going there every day. And I know that love, the love of God, warns them. God loves everyone and He wants everyone to be saved. You know, I think about when I was in the youth group, I had led one of my friends to the Lord. You know, I wasn't living for the Lord as I should have been, but as senior, senior year of high school, I gave my life to the Lord, and I began to witness to my friends and things like that. And remember this one guy, a friend that I had, he accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and he's driving the bus with his coming back from some youth activity. And I see him writing on the window, and he writes Bobby on the window. And I'm like, you know, and I'm just a teenager, so I bust, I'm like, who's Bobby, your boyfriend? You know, just making fun of him, you know? And he's like, that's my brother. I'm like, you don't have a brother. He's like, my brother. He got stabbed, you know, someone wanted his coat, and they stabbed him, and took his coat and killed him. And so I felt like a big idiot, you know, here I'm joking around about it. And he say, he was all, you know, all sad, you know, not only because his brother had passed away, but he realized that his brother had not received Jesus Christ as a Savior. All he could think is, my brother's in hell right now. You know, and that's the reality of it. And I remember my youth pastor came up and he heard us kind of talk, and he came up and he explained to Sean. He said, look, he said, your brother may be in hell, but I want you to understand, your brother, as he's in torment, as he's in pain, what he wants for you is he wants you to go warn the rest of the family. He wants you to warn and tell other people about Jesus Christ. That, hey, he wants you to go, just as this rich man was in hell. He said, warn my brothers, warn my family. And I said, I've seen this movie. In fact, I got this video as a missionary out in the middle of Africa there. And he had led this whole village to the Lord. I mean, he took them from Genesis to Revelation, explained about how the world was created, explained about how Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sins, and how they could have eternal life. And the whole village got saved. And they were jumping up and down. You've seen like the World Cup when they get excited, everyone's jumping, going like this, you know, just everyone's, the whole place, the whole village is jumping up, just excited. And then after like 6 hours of them doing that, they realized, wait a second, what about our parents? what about our grandparents? And the whole village, I mean, just started mourning. That's the reality of hell, that hell is real. And I want you to, some people, I knock on someone's door, I tell someone about Jesus Christ, and they're like, yes. They're like, and they're listening to what I say, but they say, but wait, I've been such and such religion my whole life. And that's what my parents were, that's what my grandparents were. They'd roll over in their grave, they said, if I changed and became, you know, and became a Christian, or I became a Baptist, wherever it may be. Say, wait a second. No, that's not the case. The case is right now, they're a witness in hell. Right now, they're crying out and they're saying, no, accept Jesus Christ. No, they want you to be saved. You know, how many times does that stop people from being saved because of their family? They don't want to in some way hurt family. However, they'll pay for it in eternity by rejecting Jesus Christ. You know, the horrors of hell should motivate us to tell other people about Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 36, it says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Over in Revelation in chapter 20, just have two more verses I want to show you. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. It says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Paul said, whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So if your name's not written in that book, well, what book is that? The Lamb's book of life. Those who receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, their names are sealed in that book, that we are become children of God by faith. He says, if your name's not there, you'll be cast in the lake of fire. There is a hell and there is a heaven, and people are going there every day. Many people say, well, it doesn't make sense because God is a loving God. How could a loving God send someone to hell? Is what people say, you know. I mean, they think, well, that doesn't even make sense. Why would God send someone to hell? And I want you to understand that God doesn't send anyone to hell. Jesus Christ, He died on the cross for your sins. He pays for your sins, and He offers you the gift of eternal life. He says, here it is. And what you do is you reject Jesus Christ. By rejecting Jesus Christ, you're saying, I'm choosing the horrors of hell rather than the glories of heaven by simply rejecting Jesus' payment for your sin. You know, some people I talk to, they say, you know what? In fact, it's happened. This happened when I was in Kansas. We talked to this guy and knocked on the door, and he was a younger guy, and he said, I believe what you're saying. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He goes, but I'm not ready to get saved. He goes, I still want to go out and just live my life. I want to go out and party. I want to do whatever I want to do, you know. I don't want to accept Jesus Christ yet. You know, that weekend, you know, he was driving and he drove off of a bridge outside of town. He died. You know, as far as I know, as he opened his eyes, lifted his eyes in hell. I mean, you know, he delayed. He delayed on that. You know, how about you? What do you choose? The glories of heaven or the horrors of hell? I want to show you one more verse over in Matthew chapter 25. We read over in John chapter 14, he says, where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, there's also a place that's been prepared also. But the Bible teaches that this place was not prepared for you and for me. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, it says, then shall he say also unto them that are on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Then notice these last words, prepared for the devil and his angels. From the hell, who was it prepared for? It wasn't prepared for me, it wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for Satan and his angels. So that we'll go there if we reject Jesus Christ as our Savior, but it's not prepared for us. He says, I prepared a place for you. I prepared mansions for you. So all you have to do is accept that free gift. God's not going to force you. to be saved. He's not going to force you to receive salvation. He says, I love you. I'm going to give you a free choice. Some reason people have a hard time receiving Jesus Christ. I want you to understand the horrors of hell are real. You can't just pick and choose and say, I believe in heaven, but not in hell. You know, this book has been proven to be right. I mean, they try to burn this book, try to banish it, try to prove it wrong, yet it still stands. God's perfect word is still here. You know, if Jesus Christ didn't really die and raise again the third day, you know, Christianity would just stopped right there. It wouldn't have continued on. These disciples wouldn't have given their lives. They wouldn't have had their heads cut off. They wouldn't have been shot with arrows. They wouldn't have been flayed alive for their faith. No, they wouldn't do that. People, you know, these were stand-up men. These were solid men. These men wouldn't die for a lie. They died for their faith because they lived and they seen Jesus Christ. They seen His testimony. They seen the nail-scarred hands. And they knew that, hey, He had risen from the dead. And His word is true. I'm going to close here. But I want you to understand that God gives you a choice. You know, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God's word is true. You need to make your choice. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't delay. You don't know, you know, life's but a vapor. Appear for a little time, then vanish away. You don't know when you're going to die. You know, 16-year-old girl in my youth group had a heart attack and died. No one's seen that coming. You know, you never know. You never know when you're going to die. You know, Forrest, a couple months ago, he was perfect health. Now he's got any minute to live. You know, you don't know when you're going to die. Let's go ahead and stand as you pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your warnings of hell, Lord. I thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross to pay for our sin debt, Lord. I pray if there's someone here today, Lord, they don't choose the horrors of hell, but they choose the glories of heaven, Lord. They choose you today. That they don't wait, they don't delay, Lord. I pray that they make that decision. I pray for those of us that are saved, that have received Jesus Christ, their Savior. I pray this message motivates us to go and tell other people about you. That this motivates us to win other souls for your glory. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity I have to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a verse of invitation. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart. Maybe you haven't been witnessing like you ought to. Maybe you just want to thank Him for the home that He's prepared for us in heaven. Maybe you're not sure when you die you're going to heaven. You'd like to make sure. Brother Justin here is in the second row. He'll take the word of God and show you how you can have eternal life. The altar's open. Lord spoken to you, you ought to respond.